children all now.
Learned something this week on the radio that I want to share with all of y'all. I know you'll love this. Do you know what you call a group of baboons? Congress is exactly correct. Some of you listen to it too. Boy, I like the fella out of the truck when I heard that. I said, that's exactly what we got going on. We got a bunch of baboons trying to run the country. Whoo! Y'all like it? I like it. We're going to sing a song now that's called Come Morning.
God's children too long have been burdened. They are longing for heaven's green shore. Are left far behind us, and burdens are carried no more. Come morning, I'll walk by the river, I'll rest neath the evergreen tree, so I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected, and I question, oh Father, how long? And then I take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk by the river, I'll rest neath the evergreen tree, so I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Come morning, I'll walk by the river, I'll rest neath the evergreen tree, so I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me.
right now we're in the midnight. We're in the tough times, and there's going to be a time coming here before long, before we know it, in which that midnight is going to be gone, the morning's going to be there, and we're going to have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the troubles in this life are going to be over, and we'll be able to enjoy that heaven that He has for us there. Take your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14, please. We've been dealing with some guidelines in responding to difficulties that we face in this life, some of them that are hurled at us by Satan to try to defeat us and discourage us, others of them designed by God to try to encourage us, to grow us, and test our faith, etc. But whether it comes from Satan or whether the Lord allows it or designs it there, there are guidelines that God has given us in Scripture of how we can face those things or respond to those situations. And we have already seen that some of you have been going through some very difficult times. Others of you are just coming out of it. Some are fixing to just get into it here shortly. And out of these rules, Red Sea Rules is the title of this series there. The first rule was that we found out that we are to realize that God means for you to be exactly where you are in the trial. I believe it was Kim Peach. Is Kim here this morning? Kim Newton? No. I think it was her that posted this on Facebook. It said, I thought it was a good quote. It says, "We ask God to change our situation, not knowing He put us in the situation to change us." So often I think we look at the difficulties that we face and we say, "Lord, you know, get me out of this. Take this away from me." And the whole time, instead of God changing the situation, He's brought the situation or allowed the situation and is using it to want to change us in some area. And we need to be realizing that. God means for you to be where you are there. God has a purpose. Number two, be more concerned for God's glory than for your own relief there. Remember, it's not all about you. Thirdly, we are to acknowledge our enemy. Satan is the enemy. He's wanting to devour us, etc. there. But we're to keep our eyes on the Lord. Don't let the things in which you are facing cause you to fall away from the Lord. Too often I find that to be the case in some Christians that are facing difficulties, and when they're going through the deepest part of their trouble, they stop reading their Bible, they stop coming to church, and that's when they need it the most. It's when we need it the most. So acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord there. Rules 4 and 5 are simply to pray and to wait. We're to stay calm during the trial there, and we're to give God time to work. Be confident in faith that He is going to work. We believe that. We know that. And we acknowledge that. Rule 6 there, when unsure what to do, just take the next logical step by faith. The next logical step. His Word illumines our pathway right before us there. At our feet, where we are, at our pathway, the next step, not a beam of light way down the path, but we're to take the next logical step by faith there. And then last week, we saw Rule 7, envision God's presence through the trial. We know God's presence, that's one thing, but we are to practice the presence of God in our life. We're to live in such a way that it reveals that we're thinking about His presence. So we're not just knowing, but we're thinking about it, and our actions and how we respond reveals that. Today I want us to see rule number 8, and that is we're to trust God to deliver in His own unique way. It's taken from verses 21 and 22 here of Exodus 14. We've just read how that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ there, the pillar of fire and the smoke and so forth, had removed and come and was between the Hebrews there of Israel and the Egyptian army of Pharaoh to protect them. And then we'll pick up there in verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Here we have this great miracle that God did in parting of the Red Sea. There have been people that have tried to explain this away, people that have commented and say, you know, that part of the Red Sea is called really the Reed Sea, and it is a very shallow part, and the strong east wind was enough to move back that shallow water there, and they were able to cross the Red Sea there in that shallow part. Well, isn't that something that God used that little 8 inches or so of water to drown all of the Egyptian army in it? Well, it just didn't happen that way. Matter of fact, there's another verse that comes into play as you read over in chapter 15 in verse 5, where it says, "The depths have covered them. They sank unto the bottom as a stone," talking about Pharaoh's armies and his chariots and so forth. Here we have the situation where it says that God caused the waters to part, and the waters were on the left side and the right side. Explain that with that wind that happens there. And then these waters were to the point that when God allowed the waters to come back and Pharaoh's army was in the midst, it was enough to drown them in this great sea. And the depth of waters is what they were in that they sank from. And so here we have this great miracle that God did. God delivered them with a mighty miracle. But I want you to see this morning that God delivers in at least three different ways. And so let's ask God's blessing and we'll look into His Word and see it together. Father, we thank You for Your Word that has given us so much information about You and what You do and how You interact in our lives. And Father, I pray right now that You'd allow me to have Your Holy Spirit to both guide me and give me the words to say clearly, that I may share what I've studied here of Your Word, the principles that we have found, the principles that You have given. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand it, not just to know the truth, but Lord, to apply that truth in our lives, that we may see how You work in our individual situations and expect for You to do that with us. And Father, now I pray that You would let there be no distractions, but we would give our 100% attention to what Your Word has to say for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first of these three is His miraculous way that we see here in the miracle that He did in parting of the Red Sea, this ocean. Can you imagine just for a moment, let's just step down here to the Atlantic Ocean, and you're standing there outside there at Virginia Beach, and all of a sudden there comes this division, and all the water starts to pile up on one side and the other, and you can see the bottom of the ocean for as long as you can see just about. What a sight. I imagine if it was me standing there, my mouth would be dropped down to my knees and so forth, looking, wow, I've never seen anything like it. They had never seen anything like this either. And here, the children of Israel, as Moses said those words there, and God divided the sea. Moses didn't divide the sea, by the way. It said the Lord divided the sea. And so when the Lord did that there, the children of Israel were looking and say, you know, I didn't see that coming. I saw Israel. I saw Egypt there, Pharaoh pursuing us. I saw all the mountains around over this side that we couldn't get away. I saw the sea in front of us that we couldn't go there. I thought we were doomed. And now God does this. What a miracle in which He brought. God made this impassable sea to be an avenue for the Hebrews, but He made it to be an ambushment for Egypt's army, for Pharaoh's army there. He made this impassable sea to be a gateway for the Israelites to go, but He made it to be a graveyard for the Egyptian army that was there. And God had told them, Pharaoh's army, you shall see no more this day. This is the Old Testament most dramatic object lesson, I believe, here that is seen as we learn that we're to trust God to deliver in His own unique way. Nobody would have suspected. God can, and He does still some deliver by these miracles that are there. But I want you to see this more than anything else. God always delivers, whether by a miraculous deliverance or some other way. God always delivers. Psalm 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Psalm 50 and verse 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Remember rule number 2, be more concerned with God's glory than your relief. 2 Peter 2:9, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations." The word there means testings and so forth, their trouble. "And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." God knows how to do exactly that in delivering us from all kinds of things in our life there. And in God's deliverance, God's grace is always sufficient. It is always all that we need. But does God still deliver in a miraculous way today? I believe that He does. I've got some examples of that we'll see in just a moment. But I want you to understand this first, that we've got to have God's perspective about it. You know, some people look at miracles today and they explain them away, or at least they try to, in their own minds. And it may be believers that are trying to do that just because they don't see the way that God sees. In Isaiah 55:8, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." His thoughts and His ways are so much higher than our ways that we sometimes don't catch it. We don't see it. We don't understand. You know, I'm glad that that's true. I'm glad that I serve a God that's so great and so big that I can't explain Him and put Him in a box. Praise the Lord for who He is. God's deliverance is always tailor-made for our particular situation, just what we need. It's no one-size-fits-all situations or all conditions. All solutions are not the same there. Here are some miracles that I came across. One, and in fact, there are a lot to choose from. Christine Claypool from Kirby Free Will Baptist in Detroit took a missions trip to Cuba, wanting to smuggle Spanish Bibles to the country and the Christians there. Christine wore several layers of clothing to conserve space in her suitcase for the contraband. But her odd appearance drew the attention of the security agents at every airport. Christine had to open her suitcase at her departure city. Again, when she got to the Bahamas, in arriving in Cuba, she was alarmed that again she was singled out in order to open her suitcase. The zipper at that point would not budge, and she could not open it but about 2 inches. She fought with it until at length the guard impatiently took over the struggle. Despite prolonged effort, the zipper wouldn't budge. Christine was perplexed, for it was a new suitcase and had been opened several times before. In exasperation, the guard finally shoved it toward her and told her to go on her way. Arriving at her hotel, Christine looked for a knife in order to cut open the luggage, but when she gave the zipper a tug, it opened easily. The Bibles were distributed as planned. It's just a coincidence, right? That's what some people would say. Something just odd happened there. I'll tell you what happened there. God locked that suitcase from being opened so the Bibles would not be found there. Number 2 says, early in the history of the Pacific Garden Mission of Chicago, ministry to downtrodden men and women in the 1980s, George and Sarah Clark bore the cost of the work themselves. But the ministry's growth depleted their funds. Eventually, they couldn't pay the rent, and Mr. Clark had only 24 hours to make payment or lose their lease. Mr. and Mrs. Clark prayed throughout the night, reminding the Lord of the luckless whose lives were being salvaged. Emerging from their house at daybreak, they gasped. Their yard was blanketed in white. Looking closer, they discovered the lawn was covered with rare mushrooms of highest quality, though it wasn't a season for mushrooms. gathering the crop, the Clarks carted the mushrooms down to the Palmer house and sold them to the chefs for enough money to pay for the rent. Years later, Mother Clark, commenting on the experience, said no mushrooms were ever seen there before, nor any since. God brought it at just the right time for just the right purpose in His miracle. The third one I came across in her biography, Go Home and Tell, Bertha Smith tells of her stay in China to devote several days to evangelistic work. She had to sleep in an ox stall with a swarm of flies. Finally, she prayed, Lord, I am one of your spoiled children. All my life, I have been accustomed to screened houses and clean food. Now, I just can't eat with those flies all over my food. Down in Egypt, you had flies come and go at your word. You are the same today. Now, please do one of two things for me. Either take the flies away or enable me just to go ahead and eat and not mind them. You take care of any disease germs which they may put into my body. Whichever you wish to do will be good enough for me. What do you think he did? Now, she wrote, says, not a fly went into that ox stall the remaining 5 days that I was there witnessing and teaching. Well, you know, something changed. Humidity, the wind. It's hard to find an ox stall that don't have flies. The point is that God can jam zippers. He can grow mushrooms. He can evict flies. He can even spread open the Red Sea. He is a miracle-working God, and He can do miracles today. Let's not forget His miraculous ways that He answers. But there's another way that God answers and delivers when we're going through difficulties. It's His providential ways. Though miracles still occur, God uses them sparingly. Even in Scripture, miracles were not God's standard operating procedure when it comes to delivering His people. Only during certain periods were there clusterings of signs and wonders or miracles that God did. For instance, during the Exodus, of which we're reading here, during the ministries of the prophets Elijah and Elisha, during the life of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, during the apostles' ministry, and so forth, these were clusterings of miracles, of signs and wonders that God did during that time. But most of the time, He worked in His providential ways. Throughout most of the Bible, He helped people in what we may deem as ordinary providential ways rather than in overtly supernatural ways. By providential, I mean this definition. God's unseen hand guiding, guarding, arranging, and rearranging circumstances in our life. God guiding, guarding, arranging, and rearranging circumstances in our life. God's providential ways. There are many examples of that. Some of you here today have examples of that in your life, how you could give a testimony right now of something that happened in your life there, and God used that in such a great way to bring about an outcome that you could not have anticipated yourself. I know in my life there have been several that I look back upon, and some of these I've shared with you. But before I came to be pastor here some almost 28 years ago, I was in a church up in Pennsylvania, and that church split about 6 months after I got there. It was a church of about 500. I was a youth pastor there. There were several other pastors. There was a Christian school of about 300 that was there on campus. And after 6 months, I found out the pastor was leaving. Another one of the pastors was leaving. A part-time pastor was leaving with 100 people in the church, splitting the church. And all of it was over the Christian school administrator who was the problem. And I was the only one left on staff of a church left of 400 and a Christian school of 300 with a problem administrator. and people from both groups that were coming to me for counseling. And I thought, Lord, why and how did I get in this situation? This is not what I was expecting. You know, I told you before that the Lord taught me some things during that time that I would never have learned anywhere else. They don't teach you that in Bible college. And it's things like that that God can do in our lives that we would have never signed up for if we knew what was coming. But God knows how to use those things to bring about it. You remember, it's been, what, about 6 years, something like that, 5, 6 years ago, we had a tree come down on our house at the end of June. Fortunately, we weren't there. But if you would ask me, would it be all right if the Lord asked me, it'd be all right if I send a tree down on your house while you're going on vacation? I would have probably said, well, Lord, isn't there another thing you can do here with this? But you know, even though it was a difficult time, God used that to give us a new roof, new flooring, a new insulation underneath the house that I'd already planned to do. I was going to get Daryl to help me. he gave us new painting. We were in the process of doing some repainting and changing all of our trim from stained wood to painted white wood. And I was halfway through with that, and the Lord took care of finishing that off for us. All of these things, and it didn't cost us a penny. Insurance paid for everything on it. And I thought, Lord, you know, here I was going to have some expenses coming up, and you took care of all of those things and updated our house that way. I would have never chose to do it that way, but God saw us through. And for 3 months, we were without a house, living in an apartment. But God taught us some things during that. And some of the songs that we have right now that our choir sings came out of songs that God gave us during that time. And we look back and we say, thank you, Lord, for the lessons learned about you, about me, and what you have provided. God's providential hand involved. Vicki, if you'll remember, gave a testimony years ago when we first came here. We were in need of a vehicle, and God gave her a vehicle. She won one through U-Crops and Pepsi-Cola, gave it away at the Diamond there in the seventh inning, Geo Tracker. That was the best car of anything. I went through 3 teenage boy driving, and I'm still getting good. The Lord gave us that. It was in His providential working that she had been praying for a car. And the Lord provided in such a miraculous way there, His care and His workings. Many examples are out there, as I said. Many of you have some examples as well. Things that God has done to intervene. Maybe not anything that you would have said, hey, I want you to do it this way. But when He did it that way, it was such a blessing. Because He always knows what is best. God's unseen hand guiding, guarding, arranging, and rearranging our circumstances. Romans 8:28 is still in the book. What does it say? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Everything God takes, whether it is coming from Satan or whether He has designed it Himself, He takes those situations and He works it about for good. His providential work. Charles Spurgeon said this. He says, we believe in the providence of God, but we do not believe half enough in it. We believe it, but we don't believe it enough. I think that is true. Then we come to His mysterious ways. Vance Havre made this statement. He says, God marks across some of our days, we'll explain later. You ever had situations like that? You say, Lord, I don't understand why this is happening. I don't see what you're doing through this. That's quite often that we have to drop back and say, Lord, this is one of your mysterious ways that you're working. Because so often, God is working, but we just don't see it. We don't recognize what He's going about and what He's going to accomplish. in the faith chapter there in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 through 38, after citing several miraculous and providential escapes and so forth and ways in which God delivered His people, the writer suddenly changes there the tone. And when God does not deliver in the way that we would have thought or in a miraculous way or something there, it was through His mysterious ways that He began to deliver. Things in which we didn't see coming, nor did the people that God was working with. When God works in our life in a mysterious way there, we have to sometimes back up and say, Lord, I know and believe You'll explain all of this later. I may not know in my lifetime, but I trust You because You're God that does all things right. And that's not just something that we should say and say we believe, but just like I said there, we need to practice the presence of God. We need to also practice what we believe about His hand working in a mysterious way. When we do not see the hand of the Lord and we cannot understand what He is doing, that's when we need to trust His heart. He always does what is right. He always does what is best. Vance Havner, again, when he lost his wife to disease there, he was sad and discouraged, rightly so. I mean, it's a hard thing to face. But he later wrote this. He said, "When before the throne we stand in Him complete, all the riddles that puzzle us here will fall into place, and we shall know the fulfillment, in fulfillment rather, what we now believe in faith." We shall know in fulfillment what we now believe in faith. And here it is, that all things work together for good in His eternal purpose. No longer will we cry, "My God, why?" Instead, "Alas," will become "Alleluia." And all question marks will be straightened until exclamation points. Sorrow will change to singing, and pain will be lost in praise. Now, there's coming a day, as they sang in the trio there, that we might be in the midnight right now. We might be in the darkness. We might be facing the difficulty of the trial. But God is going to deliver, either in His miraculous way or in His providential way, maybe in His mysterious way, but He's going to deliver. One day we may understand completely how that is. Right now we can see some things very clearly, but sometimes in His mysterious working, we don't see. So there's a key verse and a key attitude that we need. The key verse for Christians is John 13:7. And it says, Jesus said, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." That's exactly it. What I'm doing, God says, you don't know right now. You don't understand. You don't see it right now. But you'll see it later. God's mysterious ways. And then the key attitude is this: I am content that His will is always good and acceptable. I am content that His will is always good and acceptable. Do you believe that? If I were to say, God is good, you would say, do you believe that? Can you trust God? He can be trusted. Not just can you trust Him, but do you trust Him? That's the question. Every head bow, please. We may not see to understand the mysterious way of God, but as I said a while ago, when we can't see His hand, we need to trust His heart. God will save and deliver in His own unique way, whether miraculous, providential, or mysterious. You can trust Him if you will. The question is not God. The question is about us. The question is not, can He be trusted? The question is, will we trust Him? He's proven Himself time and time again. We know these things. But do we live demonstrating what we know? Or is it just something that we know? And we live in fear of the situations. Nothing has ever taken God by surprise. And nothing that has happened in your life or that will happen in your life today or in the future, nothing will ever take Him by surprise. He's got it. Will you trust Him? Father, I pray that as we look into our lives at the difficulties that we face, some right now that are going through some great trials, some have been through some here shortly, and some are going to be going through some here shortly. Lord, as we face these trials, may we not be dismayed in the midst of the trial. But You are our shepherd. And when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we should not fear any evil because we know that You are right there with us. We know that You're working all things for good. We know that when trials come, we're to count it all joy, for You're working in us to change us. We know these things, Lord. Help us to live according to what we know. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.